Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's ready to wrap up another week. I know I am.
I am.
If you're not, what's wrong with you?
I'm not.
Why?
Let's keep the week going.
No, nobody. Things nobody says. Hey, let's add another day to the week. Things you never hear in the workplace. You know what? Saturday wouldn't be a bad day to come back in. Nobody ever says that.
Remember SNL had a great skit called Bad Idea? The jeans?
I don't remember that. When was this?
This would have been in the 90s. This was Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon and Dennis Miller. They all were sitting around, and they were just... It was a jeans ad. Like, there was Guess the Jeans.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, real jeans.
Sure.
So this was just Bad Idea jeans. They would sit around, and they would just be having discussions, and they would be tossing in really bad ideas.
Are there still... do they still make Guess jeans?
I have no
Probably.
Idea.
Probably.
I don't know.
What do you think?
They still sell Tab. I'm sure they still make Guess jeans.
Tab.
Let's see. Yes, they do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't really
think...
They're
still out there?
They're still there.
Okay.
Guess.com. Get your jeans.
So it's just, you think it's online only?
Oh, I don't know that. I mean, the Macy's popped up. I mean,
okay.
Just Googled Guess jeans.
I feel,
you know, the Google machine will tell you what you need to know.
Like, there was a time in a day, Chase, you won't remember this, Willie will, like Guess and Lee jeans.
I had Lee's.
That was like a big deal. That was the cool crowd, right? I feel that way, right? Guess and Lee, those were... Cool crowd jeans, I think.
I think so.
I had Lee's growing up.
I think so.
Yeah. Or is that just me pretending like I was cool?
I mean, I don't know.
That really wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could definitely see you pretending like you're cool.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So you're saying you're not sure if that's a fact or not?
Yeah, I don't know if I can go fact.
I kind of feel like when you had the Lee jeans, it's like, okay, you're in. You're cool. By the way,
you're one of them.
Yeah. You brought up Saturday Night Live. J.J. Watt will be the host.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah. That,
Tomorrow.
Not tomorrow.
Okay.
It's not?
It's Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, it's next Saturday.
Yeah.
I thought it was tomorrow.
It's the night before the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yep. February 1st.
Is it
1st?
Halsey?
Yeah.
Your birthday.
Oh, Halsey is the musical guest this weekend.
Yeah. This Saturday?
Yeah, I just happened to catch. Just doing a rotation.
I'm a big
fan
of Halsey.
Big fan. Strong.
I'd like to go. She's coming to Bridgestone in July.
She has been to Nashville many times.
Has she really?
Yeah.
I've never seen her.
She's got connections here.
It's hard to play. You know, we've got our baseball jam, you know, we play for the boys, getting warmed up. It's hard to play Halsey songs. She's a little... She's got a potty mouth.
This is a problem.
A little bit of potty mouth. So
it's a lot of songs now.
You can't play. I know.
You didn't used to have to think about that.
No, never had to think about that.
Only the one. You knew.
Now you have to check.
You used to just know. Like, if you're playing the Two Live Crew, okay.
Right. We all knew, the usual suspects. Two Live
Crew.
But
you assumed that everything was going to be clean unless you just knew. Now it's like you can't ever not check.
You can't have the kids.
You
got to
check every single song.
You have to check the
song. Right, because the next thing you know, you got an F-bomb flying right in
and
front
then
of the
everybody's,
parents.
Everybody's looking
and all the
at
parents
you.
Are looking like, around. Like, what happened?
What the heck is wrong with you, coach? Really?
And then you get mad at Halsey or whoever the artist is. Like,
Halsey,
why did you need to do that? You
a lot
need
of
to do
her
that.
Songs. But she's got body mouth.
I have to say, it's kind of on you. Because you got to screen the music.
It is.
I know, but that's the point. Like, you really have to.
You really have to work.
Got to screen
the
music.
Work. Well, I don't need that.
A lot of this stuff now, they have like a clean version, right? And the regular version.
Right. I mean, they've had that for a while. There's been clean versions and regular versions.
There have been, but sometimes like on Spotify, they don't really give you that option.
Because back in the day, when it was cool to have the unedited version, but you know, your parents were like, you can't have that. You'd buy the CD, you would take the cover off that had the parental advisory sticker, and then you would print off the CD cover without the sticker and put it back in, do the old switcheroo.
Like the
Did you read about that, or because that sounds a little. That sounds personal experience.
Well, the statute of limitations is up.
Heard,
so, no, that's
or you live that.
No, I'm admitting that that's what I did. Look, there were different strategies because then you had the Kid Rock CDs that had the two number ones on the actual CD, so you had to hide, had to do the hiding. So,
remember the CeeLo Green? The name of the song is clean version is "Forget You," mm-hmm. and then the other version is
"Not Forget You."
Not Forget You. A different word that starts with. The letter F. If you mess that one up, you are a toast.
See,
that was like the Grammy winner. Like, okay, hey, this is a great song. CeeLo Green. Whoops.
I was going to make a joke, but I'm scared that I'll mess it up, so I'm just not going to make the joke.
That's where you just walk away. Elijah. Elijah Campbell's behind the glass. Eli Manning, not named Elijah, is going to announce his retirement. He's about to do that in New York. 16 seasons.
His full name Elijah? Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it is not. I don't believe so.
I think it's Elisha, but I'm not 100%
sure.
Well,
let's just look it up. Elisha. You're right. Okay. Elisha Nelson Manning the
Elisha.
Fourth. He's Elisha. The fourth. I'm the fourth.
I don't think I know an Elisha.
It's biblical.
Okay.
Yeah. But is it set? Do you say it Elijah? Like, is it? Pronounced the same way?
Are they two different biblical characters, Elijah?
Two different, yeah. Okay. They're two different biblical characters. I got this education when learning where I was
Elijah.
Getting my name.
Okay.
Yeah, Elisha.
Okay. Elisha's definitely more rare.
Yeah. Okay.
Are we are we going to have the question, the debate, is he a Hall of Famer?
I don't really think it. We can, but I don't think it is. I think he's getting in. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Some strong people coming out with heavy opinions, no, though.
Yeah.
The no crowd.
Well, what would be the no?
The haters. Well, he's exactly 500 as a starter. That's the first thing that they throw out.
Well, then.
Right?
But, I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but, I mean, what was.
Yeah, he's 117 to 117.
Exactly 500.
Yeah. What's Philip
Rivers? And he had to win the last game to do it.
What's Philip Rivers' overall record? You know, I'd like to go see.
Okay, well, let's take a look.
We have this thing.
Like, there are some quarterbacks that are in that. Have some big flaws in their stats.
He's
like Joe Namath threw a ton of interceptions.
Right.
Like his stats won't jump out at you. Like, wait a minute.
Philip Rivers is 123 and 101.
Okay.
His completion percentage is 64.7. Eli's is 60.3. He's thrown 366 touchdowns to 244 interceptions. Rivers 397 to 198. But the biggest difference. Eli has two rings.
If you beat the Patriots twice and you were 2-for-2 in Super Bowl appearances, like that weighs heavy on a resume.
So do you put Rivers in two?
I think,
or is it just lack of rings equals no Hall of Fame?
Remember
those two are the same draft.
Yeah,
right? Remember
the whole
shenanigans. Yeah, all of the
right.
There was a lot that went down between those two.
Eli was drafted by San Diego. Not going to San Diego.
Yeah,
so don't draft him.
It's a debate that's going to go on.
But I say yes because he's going to get in. He's going. To get into the Hall of Fame. I didn't say first ballot, but he's going to get in. And why wouldn't two Super Bowl rings, two for two against New England, the dynasty?
I'm not one of those guys that's saying absolutely not. I think he's got a really good case. I just don't think it's a slam dunk. I think there's going to be a lot of people look closely. But the two rings might be the tiebreaker. Without the rings,
that's what gets him in.
Does he get in without the rings?
No, I don't think so.
So the rings really mean everything.
Is Andy Pettit? Is he in?
No, he's not even close.
He's
got like 10% of the.
I was gonna say the only reason he's
fighting to stay on the ballot
is because
right
of his postseason play.
Well, but he won a lot of games. That's
he was more known for his postseason play.
Yes,
than his regular season play.
Right. He was, but his regular season was good.
His
very
stronger
good.
Case for Hall of Fame is much more geared toward postseason pitching than regular season, in my opinion.
I think there's strong parallels.
Eli Manning, New York
market, played for good teams, in the spotlight, was good in the spotlight.
Here's the one thing, though. He only made 6 playoff appearances. Eli, as they put up there right now.
I'm telling you, there's a case. that will be made on both sides.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
I'm rooting for him. I think he's right there, but it's not a slam dunk.
So, Darren, you and I agree that
I think he's getting
he's in.
He is going to get into the Hall. Yep. And when you ask about Rivers is when his career is over, I think he is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I think another argument you hear about Manning is he rose and fell based on the team around him. He was not a guy that was going to elevate his team. Whereas I think maybe Phillip Rivers, you could say, elevated some average teams. Was Eli Manning the reason the Giants won? He helped. He could make the difference, but he was not going to, Brett Favre or some of the things that we say about the top guys.
That's a pretty interesting statement. I would probably tend to agree with that.
So they just put this stat up there. 14 consecutive seasons with 3,000-plus passing yards, tied fourth for most in NFL history. And that's
can we open up the text line about this and get a little vote going? We got a ton of texts yesterday, Darren.
That's what Chase was telling
me. We really utilized the text line to our advantage yesterday.
Well, here is something else that you need to think about that I think is important. And Eli and Phillip Rivers are in the same boat with us. Don't they get credit, too, for always being available? Always. I mean, you played 16 years and you never missed a game?
I think that should mean something.
Sure.
Yes.
Phillip Rivers, we talked about this,
Availability.
Availability, always there.
And the only reason Eli missed any games this year was because he was benched.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He never missed.
I think that's true.
16 years?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you'd have to say.
We'll have number retired.
You'd have to say his rookie year, he didn't play the full season. Played over, I think, right at half. And then his last year, he was benched.
Yeah.
Everything in between, 16 games a year.
Yep.
Doesn't that count for
something? Sure.
It does.
It does in my book.
He led the league in interceptions three times. This is not me saying he's not in. I think he is right there. But it comes down to two. How much do you weigh the two championship seasons? One of the championship seasons, they were only 9-7 during the regular season, right?
Yes.
So the regular season, he had a year where his team went 12-4. Other than that, he had nothing. He had a couple of 11-5s, a couple of 10-6s, handful of 9-7s. They weren't a dominant team. And if you look at his passing stats, they don't look like super gaudy like a Drew Brees.
No.
So he's not in that category. It's just how much do you weigh that he was a winning guy? Even though his record was 117-117. He played on some bad teams too, especially the last couple.
I'll throw this out there and see what you guys think. If he's Eli Robinson, does that change anything?
I don't know. Not if Eli Robinson had two Super Bowl rings. You know what I mean?
I don't view it as...
The Peyton's brother thing, to me,
doesn't...
If
you noticed, that wasn't brought up once until you just did it.
Well, how about this?
But that's why I'm bringing it up. I mean,
I think it
may factor... And I still think he should get in, based on the numbers. But I think the Mannings have a lot of pull, too. It doesn't have anything to do with just being Peyton's brother. I just think the Manning family has a lot of pull, too.
It's a royal family, for sure. Now, if we'd had this discussion...
I mean, he got traded from San Diego. That's the reason that he wasn't the San Diego Chargers quarterback.
All right, so let's put it this way. When he was at the end of his age 31 year, 2012, they won the Super Bowl, right? Was he the Super Bowl MVP both times they won the Super Bowl? I don't even know.
He was.
He was.
He's one of five to be named Super Bowl MVP multiple times.
Okay,
they put that up there.
So we probably did have this discussion.
Thank you, NFL
When he
Network.
Won the second, we were probably like, well, he's on his way to the Hall of Fame. But since then, one, two, three, his last seven seasons, there's really nothing to nothing to write home about.
I'd agree with that.
I mean, really nothing with his team or his individual performance. He hasn't done anything to add to it in quite a long time.
Let's sneak Brandon in here real quick. Brandon, what's up? Hello? Okay.
Thank you for
good
your
stuff.
Addition.
We'll ask Scott Corley.
You can
his thoughts.
You can text us, 615-737-1025.
We will
Eli Manning, in or out.
Yep. We will come back and head over to the campus of Belmont. We'll talk to their AD, Scott Corley. We do that next. known to blare this in my bedroom when I was a kid.
You'll like our theme today.
When I was mad. Let's head over to campus at Belmont.
I think maybe Scott Corley might have, you know, this was his era. You
really?
And he was shining on the court.
Yeah.
This song was out.
You think this was kind of his warm-up song?
I don't know if it was or not, but I'm just saying the eras match up.
Okay.
Fair the timeline enough. Works.
Belmont AD Scott Corley is on the line with us. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Can you confirm that, Scott?
Can you confirm or will you deny it?
That was dirt. Twisted Sister was definitely my era. I was more of a Motley Crue warm-up pregame kind of guy.
Okay.
Though.
Which one? Which song?
Wild Side, Kick My Heart, all
right.
You know, all that good stuff.
Gosh, you're on it. You're on it today. You guys had a pretty important announcement this week. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Yeah, very exciting. Obviously, the announcement of a new indoor practice facility for men's and women's basketball and, in addition, volleyball, and just a huge commitment being made by this university. And I'm very thankful that we've got a president and senior leadership and a board of trustees that values the athletic department and what it means within the daily life of a university. And, you know, much like we do in other areas on the campus, I mean, we're in search of excellence. And I think this building is a testament to this university and we always want to continue to strive to be better. And so it's a game changer in a lot of ways. And it's a credit to a lot of people. You know, I thanked a lot of the former players and coaches, and, you know, they certainly had a part in the announcement on Wednesday. And, you know, everybody's excited. The feedback's been great, obviously. And can't wait to see it when we can open it up.
It's a little bit smaller than Willie's house, but still, it looks like a really nice size facility.
Well, as you know, Darren, Belmont's pretty good at building stuff, particularly nice buildings.
Yes.
And, you know, certainly, if we're going to do it, I know Dr. Fisher felt if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Let's make sure it does have a wow factor to it from a recruiting standpoint, but let's make sure it's also functional from a player development. And so, you know, to have two full-length, regulation size courts, to have the weight training, athletic training rooms, the video rooms, all of that. And then, you know, obviously our coaches wanted to be out there. And so to have the offices out there makes sense. That's where their players are going to be spending a lot of their time in the player development side. And so, again, just blessed that Dr. Fisher had the same vision and wants to, you know, make a building that's going to have a wow factor to it.
Scott Corley on the line with us, Belmont Athletics Director. So how long has this been in the works? Obviously, you guys didn't wake up on Monday and say, you know what, let's announce on Wednesday we're going to have a new indoor facility.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've been talking about it well over a year now, just kind of thinking through it. And I wasn't exactly sure when the timing would be where we could move forward, but with some other things that are going on campus, particularly the parking garage facility that this building now is going to be butting up to. You know, we've got tennis courts that are being built on top of that parking facility that we're going to have, you know, a player's lounge and locker rooms for the tennis team. And I think, the architects and all the people who do that stuff saw an opportunity where, you know, I think there could be some synergies and some cost savings and some things that made the timing such where we could move the project up maybe a little bit sooner than we anticipated. And so, and then the beauty of being here at Belmont, I mean, once decisions like that are made, we can move pretty quickly. And so from the time the final decision was made to the time of the announcement on Wednesday was relatively short.
Scott Corley is with us, the athletic director at Belmont. And Scott, I think about this a lot. You know, there's not a lot of extra space anywhere in the area where Belmont's campus is or anything around it. So I'm sure it had to be really smart how you put it together and the efficiency of utilizing the space that you have. What were those discussions like?
Well, I mean, we're blessed with great, architects and general contractors that know this footprint very well. I mean, your point's right, Willie. I mean, we're on 73 acres, you know, so we're pretty small from a footprint standpoint. But we've also figured out a way to get it done by, you know, the way they design things. And, for this to fit nicely to where a lot of the other growth and construction projects are going on campus, was a natural. And really it comes back to planning from Dr. Fisher and the board, you know, when they laid out probably his vision candidly, you know, when he first got here, you know, 19, 20 years ago now. I mean, I think he had a plan on where he was going to put different things and has done just a masterful job of growing this campus and doing it in such a smart, strategic way. And this is just another piece that kind of fits into that puzzle.
You and I can both go back to the times where you really only had one court, right? And, you know, if you had extra baskets, that was good. But you had to deal with when's the women's team going to practice? What about the baseball team? They need to come in and throw while the winter months are going on. This has got to be huge for not only the men's basketball team, but all the teams.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this has a trickle-down effect. But first and foremost, I mean, we've got a beautiful Curb Event Center that a lot of people in this community and on this campus want to have events in there. And, you know, scheduling those types of things can be challenging at times. We've obviously made it work and make it work where the programs have been successful. But, you know, to now have a dedicated space where those teams can really be in there and develop and do all the extra things without having to worry about the scheduling. The other thing that I like and we, as you know, value here, like most institutions, is the academics. And, the class schedulings, the things like that become a little bit easier. And then to your point, you know, it does free up some other parts on campus where the other programs like baseball, soccer, et cetera, when they can't be outside doing their thing, it just gives more flexibility to the different spaces they can use. So it really is a game changer in that standpoint. It's going to make us, you know, a lot of those programs will have a lot more scheduling flexibility, which is only a positive.
Scott Corley, Belmont's athletic director, here with us. And when you look at this and how many months and all the meetings and the planning that's gone into this, but then you also look at the success overall of athletics, is this just a kind of the cherry on top with everything that has been going on over the last several years at Belmont?
Well, it certainly ranks up there. I mean, obviously, I don't think this building gets discussed or talked about if we don't have the success that we've had historically in the way our student athletes represent and get things done in the classrooms. And Dr. Fisher spoke to that at the press conference that, you know, this is a culmination of all those wonderful things that have been able to go on with our student athletes. It just continues the positive momentum that I think, we're all feeling over here. But it's also needed in a lot of ways. If you want to keep growing and you want to keep striving for excellence and remain competitive in recruiting, those types of things. We all know there's a lot of facilities arms races out there, and we're just glad to be able to have, you know, to say and tell our recruits that we've got this wonderful building. It just signifies a commitment that we have to these programs and to the whole athletic department.
I know it's obviously been a few months and you're in the middle of the basketball season, but how's the transition been like over there on campus with Casey Alexander now at the helm after so many years with Rick Byrd?
Yeah, it's gone as well as I could have anticipated. I mean, obviously Casey, you know, was just his history with the program and the university made it easy. But the way he was smart about putting his staff together, retaining two of the coaches and Brian Ayers and Tyler Holloway, and then bringing over one of his assistants, Sean Rotuliano from Lipscomb, I think was really smart, and it helped that transition be even more seamless. I've known Casey for a long time, but to watch him operate, it's really fun to see. He's really, really good, really smart. The way he interacts with the external constituents is top-notch. And so very, very pleased from that standpoint.
I know it was a tough loss last night, but a closer game than the score may indicate. But the OVC showing that, once again, it's a close league and a fun league.
Yeah, last night was tough. I mean, a lot of credit has to go to Murray State. I mean, they made the plays in the second half. They shot a high percentage. I thought we played pretty well. I thought we played well going into a hostile environment. We just didn't make the plays down the stretch, and Murray did. I think they hit at least two contested threes with the shot clock, you know, in 1 second. And
Scott,
so,
one of them, I don't think I would have ever been allowed to shoot. It was kind of a no-look fade away from the corner, and it was all net. I mean, I had to tip my hat on that one. That was kind of like the last dagger.
It was. You're right. And it was, I mean, he's a great shooter and a great player, and that was like a falling out of bounds three, and it was just a pure stroke. And so, you know, hats off to them. I mean, the good news is we get them in our place in 2 weeks. But, you know, that loss last night makes tomorrow at Austin Peay that much bigger. And, you know, it'd be tough getting three losses in conference and both Murray and Austin Peay with zero. So our coaches, our guys understand that. But, you know, it is. It's a competitive league. There's a lot of good coaches that bring in a lot of really talented players. And, you know, we knew it wasn't going to be easy. And, you know, as we know, every path is not going to be straight when you're on your journey to the conference, through the conference. And so, you know, I think we'll find out a lot about our guys and how they respond with their performance tomorrow.
Scott, any idea where Rick Bird is right now?
Yes, he is down in Australia.
I know. That's why I'm wondering, like, what happened with you guys? I thought you guys were close. He didn't take you on the trip?
He didn't invite me. He did not. He sent me a picture, though, on his way out. He was out in L.A. He got to play a really nice golf course. You may have heard of Bel Air, and he's sending me a picture from there. And it was – he did tell me, though, that that was the first home game. This was on the Friday after we played I think it was Eastern Kentucky on Thursday night, and it was the first home game he's missed in 34 years.
Wow.
So we'll excuse him this time so he can go have some fun. And, you know, he's a huge tennis fan, as everyone knows, so I'm sure he is loving life in Australia.
Definitely roughing it in retirement, for sure.
He is, yeah.
Scott,
it's been a real tough adjustment.
Yeah. Yes, it has. It sounds like it. We'll be thinking about him. He's in our thoughts.
Exactly.
Scott, appreciate it as always. Good to talk to you. Congratulations. That's huge news, and it's a really cool thing. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. That is Scott Corley of Belmont AD, and it is cool. A new 45,000-square-foot practice indoor facility over at Belmont, and that will certainly help their athletics programs for sure. But, yeah, Rick Bird is at the Australian Open.
Very, very cool. That's how you live retirement. You should be able to do that.
Play golf at Bel Air.
Go to the Australian Open. Yeah, that's how you do it.
That is how you do it. Tom Brady has tweeted congratulations to Eli Manning with a twist. We'll tell you what he said on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Richard Deitch coming up in about 15 minutes or less. From The Athletic. It's been a while since we've talked to Richard. First time in 2020. Tom Brady has tweeted out a congratulations to Eli Manning. He said, and I quote, Tom Brady's tweet says, "Congratulations on your retirement and a great career, Eli." Let me say that again. I didn't read that very well. "Congratulations on your retirement and a great career, Eli. Not going to lie, though, I wish you hadn't won any Super Bowls." There you go.
Yeah,
I get it.
Quote tweeted it, and I said, "A little humor being shown by the former Patriots quarterback."
There you go. We are watching coverage in St. Louis around the NHL All-Star Game, and a familiar face was talking to the media.
Kevin Weeks?
No, that's the guy we talked to at the Winter Classic. We
Jamie Hirsch?
Had a great conversation with him. We had a great conversation with Jamie Hirsch. But no, one Shea Weber.
Shea Weber,
one of the all-time favorites here, without a doubt.
And guess what? He will be participating in the hardest shot competition.
No way. I bet he wins. I don't know.
I need to look at the field.
I was going to say, because Shea's getting up there now. How old is Shea?
What is Roman doing? He's doing something weird, and I know a lot of people on Twitter were going like, okay, what is that?
I think Shea's 34, is that right? Does that sound right? 34?
I would have said at least that, yeah.
Shea Weber is 34.
Okay. When's he turn 35?
Do you guys not have Google? August 14th.
Oh, okay. So he'll go into next season 35.
August 14th. There you go. So the all the skills competition, there are different things. Shay's always in that. They have the fastest, the save streak. That's what Roman's going to be in, I think.
Supposedly, the from what I've been told, the adjustments they're making to the skills competition have been getting thumbs up behind the scenes. Could be a little more. They've added a little spice, changed it up a little bit. Could be fun.
Really?
We'll see.
I thought the skills competition has always been.
It's always good, but you gotta keep it fresh, I think. You know, there's some that you'll never change, but maybe
last
year there's some of that weird obstacle course thing.
Well, last year the fastest, didn't they have was it Kendall Coyne? Was it her?
Yeah,
she participated in the
this
fastest
year. I think there's a women's 3-on-3 game.
There
right?
is, and I think they're going to be part of the goalie competition too. So they're mixing that. The hardest shot though, Giordano, Victor Hedman, Pettersson. John Carlson, Shea Weber, and
it's Steph either
Jones.
Oh.
Pettersson?
Mm-hmm.
Elias, like the guy from
Vancouver.
From Vancouver.
Yeah. He's got a heck of a he's got a heck of a shot. He's got a very unique shot. But I still in a hardest shot where it's just an old fashioned slap shot.
Yeah. I mean, Shea will probably be in the finals, I would think.
I would think so.
I mean, he's still got the shot. You all right over there, Willie?
He's getting choked up talking about this.
Willie blew a tire. He is wiped out on the ice. That's happened.
That's something you would expect from us on skates.
Yeah. I think I lost a blade. I think my blade
went
flying.
You lost the blade.
I can't move.
You got the covers on. Which is never a good time.
What I was going to say is Shea's going to win this thing. Mark it down.
I think so. Oh, you're calling it.
You want to put a little
This is what you know?
Pick six in there?
I'm not betting against Shea Weber. Are you kidding? There is no pick six, by the way.
No. Oh, what?
We're going to blow it out next week.
No.
Yeah.
You have to get a vote. You have to get a vote for that. You can't just make that unilateral decision. You're outvoted. Well, Chase and I
here's the deal.
Vote for pick six.
Here's the deal. We're ending it next week.
Elijah,
you guys can do it the rest of the way.
No, we're next week's the end. But why not do it this week?
I don't understand this.
You can do the
You don't
Pro
start
Bowl
a competition
player,
and then just decide to end it before it's supposed to be ended.
We are ending it at the Super Bowl. That's when
Which
we're
Which is fine.
It.
I think we're all on board with that.
Then I'm we'll not on board
You're
with
not
that.
On board with
well,
that.
Well, then you can do it the rest of the way.
I'd be glad to.
Okay.
Well, there we go.
There you go. Then you will do pick six the rest of the way.
So we're not doing it today, though.
Make the six questions?
You will be in charge of it.
Sure.
Okay.
Piece of cake.
Oh, I'm just going to say this.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake. There you go.
Piece of cake.
After last week, Darren, I think you might want to do pick six this week.
Ooh.
Yeah, I did not have a good week.
A little eerie foreshadowing.
See, that's what you're trying to do.
Don't
be fooled by Darren's, hey, I just don't know if I can come up with the questions. You know.
I was
Darren
about to
is
ask
in the
what
lead.
The standings were.
Darren's in the lead, so he wants to end the contest.
I do that if I'm up 14. Elijah's saying we're all a jumbled mess. Why would I want to end it a jumble? I would want to end it when I've got a comfortable lead and I'm going to cruise to the finish line.
Which he definitely doesn't have. May or may not have.
I don't have. Clearly, I don't. You wouldn't have brought it up. I don't.
Okay, so back to today. So we're not doing it today.
I can come up with six
we
good
have
questions
pro,
for
we
today.
Have pro,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we have Pro Bowl, we have All-Star.
Now, the Pro Bowl will not be part of this picks. If you're putting me in charge, I'm not putting the Pro Bowl
Do the
in
player props.
The Pro Forget Bowl it. Is going to get watched more
well,
than anything else.
Derrick Henry score a touchdown? Will Ryan Tannehill throw a touchdown?
Fine. You guys come up with those then.
Oh.
If you want to do a Pro Bowl one, that I defer
well,
to you
what
guys.
The hell are you going to do if you're not going to do those two? If you're not going to do the Pro Bowl, you got
the
what
same
are you going to do?
We,
Murray State and Tennessee Tech?
How many years have we been doing this contest?
I mean, Tech -3.5. Who do you have?
Vols, Kansas.
Darren, how many years have we been doing this contest? Did we skip this week last year? The year before? The year before that?
I don't think so. Now,
we
wasn't
do
on
this
the show
every year.
Time,
I don't understand. Where's your creative mind?
It's been in effect for 6 months. I've been doing it for 6 months.
Have we not done in the past, will a Predator score a goal in the All-Star
five
game?
5 months.
We have.
Limits.
Have we done stuff like that? We have come up with
five
six
months
questions.
We've been doing
I'm not
it.
Asking you to come up for 60 questions. It's
and,
pick
and,
six.
And let me
I
say
will
this.
Gladly come up with
Isn't
it. You guys give
you know
me a
what's
couple
amazing
Pro Bowl
is this is a prime, this is a exactly what Willie does best. He loves to play along and everything, but has no skin in the games. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Fantasy, nothing. Just shows up. But then he's got all the, you know, you should just do this. You should do that. Well, how about you do it? You roll up your sleeves and you do it. If it's so damn easy,
okay,
you do it.
I'm taking over.
Always, it's like, you should do this with the rules. You know what? If you did this, it'd be better. Oh, well, you got all the answers, but you don't run anything. Well, that's great. Backseat driver.
Mr. McFarland.
That's what you are. The backseat driver of the show. Hey, you should turn left. Hey, you're going too fast. No, dude, this is the faster route. Turn right here. Well, why don't you get up here and drive?
Well, okay.
Well, I don't want to. I just want to sit in the back seat.
Sounds like you're giving me the wheel. I'll take the wheel.
May the young whippersnapper ask a question.
You're not that young.
Now, that's rude.
Wow, the back room like that.
Shut up, peanut gallery.
Ouch.
Now, you will occasionally will be sitting at Bridgestone Arena. You will ask me ask me for input on pick six, whether it's a prop bet or something like that. And I always give it to you, but most of the time you just handle it. You don't ask. So my question to you is, I mean, I think it's fair to say some of the things that you said to Willie, but isn't it on you a little bit if you're not asking? I mean, we're here to help. We will gladly help. But most of the time it seems like you don't need it because you have it.
I come up with questions. Yeah.
But if you would like us to have more input, we are more than willing to do that. We just, you know, for 4 years or whatever it's been, I mean, you're the commish and you just handle it. But we're here to help.
We're here for you.
Yeah. You guys are here for me.
Am I officially in charge?
Oh, I know. You're always here. You're here to help, aren't you?
I'm here.
Okay. We're here.
Well, get your pen and paper out.
Okay.
So
we are doing it today.
Let's start. We'll start coming up with questions.
Coming up. Coming right up.
1 o'clock. We'll have pick six.
There we go.
Bring it.
Anything past next Friday, it's on you.
I'm ready.
I'll take it. You can take it all the way
to the end of the Final Four, just like we always do.
I would just like to let everyone know that this segment.
You finish what you start.
This segment will soon be a promo.
Frame this segment and put it in the Louvre.
Turn right. It's quicker to go this way. I mean, take a left. There's a lot of traffic. I'm there. I would have already been here if I was driving. All right, we'll come back. Richard Dyke. From The Athletic to wrap up the first hour. That's next.
Now everybody, have you heard? If you're in the game, then the stroke's the word.
Well, a lot of you apparently have been texting during the break. Chase has been sitting over there giggling to himself, so... Willie and I don't have the text screen in front of us, so you can text us or call us. 615-737-1025. What have you been giggling at over there?
So Mike said you should call Kelly Holcomb and ask about Willie taking it over.
Looking for a reference? I know I can count on my man, Kelly Holcomb, for a reference.
And Lee says, does Darren have anger issues? It always seems like he hates Willie.
Really? No. Dude, we've been working together for 17 years.
I know. Has it been? I thought it's been like 20.
No, it's been about 17 years.
And then I don't know what Willie's doing.
It's been, over 20 years, but it's about 17
years. Yeah, that's
true. There have been actually working together.
There have been some gaps. I forgot about that. We can ask Richard Deitch.
You know, there was also another host that you used to get asked the same question. So there's a common thread there, if you notice.
Yeah, well. And Kelly Holcomb has been around through a lot
of that. It's all, why is everybody mad at Willie? Why? That he is the common thread. So why do you think that is?
He's getting his piece of paper ready for pick six.
All right, let's bring in Richard Deitch, and let's see if we can all get a group hug. Richard from The Athletic is where you can find his work. Richard, how you doing?
Clearly a lot going on with your show today.
Yeah, we're fighting on air, so it's all good. It's all good. We just talked a lot of stuff through on the air.
On-air therapy.
It was a good therapy session.
Yeah, I mean, as long as that stuff, as you know, is...
is honest. It's not performance art. It's not a work for the audience. That's good. When it really gets bad is when, you know, you're faking fights or you're faking, you know, therapy sessions on the air. Then you might as well, you know, then you're basically 15 miles away from Jerry Springer's house. So you might as well just take the whole gambit and head there.
Does that go on in this business?
Slightly. Yeah. What time is it?
Hey. Somebody's doing that somewhere. Yeah. Right?
Richard will appreciate this. Kayfabe is still a thing, so we're good. We're good. It's all real.
Yeah. Kayfabe is such a great word. A lot of people use it now, but yeah. There's so many great wrestling expressions that can be used in, you know, in sort of real life situations. It's great lingo, great language.
So where is we know Tony Romo is going to be rich from what he's doing, Life After Football, but where is he going to be, in your opinion?
102.5 again.
Oh, okay. Great.
Nice.
Congrats. He's doing 4-7. And he's going to be working with Floyd Reed.
Jared.
Yeah, sorry, Darren. I mean, if you're, you know, the short answer is, like, at this moment, I do not know. But if you would like my best informed analysis from having spent a lot of time with that group and at CBS, I think he will stay with CBS for a number of reasons. One, I think ultimately they're going to find the price point that works for Tony Romo, whatever that is. He's going to get a significant raise over what he's making now, which is, I think, around, it's a guess, $3 million, $4 million. It's somewhere in that range, something like that, per year, by the way. And so if you're Romo, CBS provides you with everything that you could possibly want, perhaps with the exception of somebody coming in and offering you more money. If you're at CBS, you have the familiarity with Jim Nance, Tracy Wolfson. Even perhaps more important, you have the familiarity with your producer and director and the production crew, the only crew you've ever worked with, the only behind-the-scenes people you've ever worked with. So when it comes to the lingo, when it comes to just the shorthand, you're already familiar with how a production crew does that. Romo gets to do CBS's best games. I would argue that, you know, maybe outside of NBC and perhaps maybe even not, he can't really top his schedule. I guess if you go to Fox in theory and get the, you know, more NFC top games, but CBS's game of the week at 4:25 is always going to be essentially the best AFC game, and in other situations, sometimes one of those crossover games. So you have, in my opinion, the best schedule. You work once a week, only on Sunday. That's an incredible schedule as well. And you're a loyal guy, as Romo generally speaking is, and I think you know that the people who have been at CBS took a chance on you and put you on their top game without any kind of experience. The alternative here is a place like ESPN offers you crazy more money more. I'll just make it up and say like $5 million more. They put you on Monday Night Football, which I guess is a different kind of challenge. But if you're Romo, you know, you're working with new people. Your schedule is not as good. And ESPN, a lot of times, as you guys know, they'll make you do other stuff. It's sort of just hard. You know, you don't just get hired for one property. You get hired to do sports centers, and you get hired to sort of be part of the ESPN machine. So other than money, and I'm not saying money isn't important. Oftentimes it's the most important thing. I don't know why Romo would leave. I think everything he has at CBS he wants. So if I'm CBS management, I just try to get to whatever the number is sort of fair market value, and I think I can keep.
I want to know where you're at on this, what we're talking about, because the Titans, because of Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, and just them getting hot at the right time, they had a lot of times. I mean, we used to joke here. The running joke was, what G team, H team, J team, M team are we going to get for the broadcasting crew when the Titans were really bad? It was right. Like a bunch of guys nobody has ever heard of. Well, we got a lot of Jim Nance and Tony Romo this year, and so that was something new. And one thing I noticed, and I know it's Twitter and just the fans complaining about this, complaining about, oh, he doesn't know that, you said that name wrong, and I get it. Those guys get that in every game that they do from all the fan bases, so it's not just a here thing. But where are you on that? Like, what is the right balance? Because on one hand, I want to say to the fans, like, why do you think that they're going to know your team better than they're not in your market. They're not around this team every day. They don't talk about this. They come in and they do the game and they leave. Why do you expect them to sound like your local crews or your local sports talk shows? That's not how it works. But on the other hand, there is a little bit of, well, you're getting paid a lot of money. This is your profession. Maybe you should know how to pronounce somebody's name. So where are you at on that? What is the right balance, Richard, of what you should expect from the big broadcasting teams that come into your market and call a game?
And that's a good question, by the way. Dick Stockton, welcome
Thanks.
To Nashville. Yeah, it's not like that anymore. So here's what I think you're sort of heading down the right road in terms of what to tell people. I mean, first of all, you know, there's always going to be on people on Twitter who are just going to basically hate broadcasters. They're going to think that, like, Nance and Romo are against the Titans. I mean, just think about that. Jim Nance, you know, grew up in Connecticut, now lives on Pebble Beach. Yeah, every day he's going outside saying, how can I screw the Titans? I mean, come on. It just doesn't even logically make sense if you sort of think about that. But a lot of fans in every market think that the broadcasters are against them. In terms of, like, what you're talking about, in terms of, like, mispronunciations or in terms of not knowing something, I think you got to just, you know, I think you have to just sort of be realistic in terms of you want the broadcast to always be professional. You want the production team to never miss a play and to always have, to capture everything you want as a fan. And then you want the broadcasters just to be professional. But sometimes broadcasters are going to make mistakes for a team that they don't see often. And let's say in the NFC's case, the Buck Aikman crew sees the Cowboys a ton, the Eagles a ton. But, you know, they may not see, a lower-level NFC team. And in the Nance Romo case, until this year, they probably didn't have a ton of Titans games. So sometimes they may mispronounce a name. But the level of, I think, especially the A crews in the NFL, the level of sort of the high level that they perform every week to be pretty close to perfect over a three-hour live game experience where they don't know what's coming, I think it's pretty impressive. As a general rule, I think when you're at that level, those guys put on a great broadcast. But I understand when you get lower-level people, the broadcast generally isn't as good. There's a reason why they're on the fifth team instead of the first team. And I can understand the fans' frustrations, but everybody, generally speaking, in the business is always trying to do their best. Nobody wants to have a screw-up.
Talking to Richard Deitch, and Richard, I think I already know what your feelings are on this topic, but we got nostalgic because a great writer for the Tennessean for several decades, David Clymer, passed away. He was a retired columnist, and back in the day, he used to come on our show once a week for an hour. Sometimes it would get really emotional, and there would be a lot of good topics, spicy discussion. Other times, maybe there wasn't as much going on. But there was a sort of a point in time where there was an intersection between the newspaper columnists and the sports talk show where it was caller-driven that is really now an era that's gone by. It's really something how different the whole model is. It just got me thinking with the sad news that we got last week.
Yeah, and listen, I read the tributes for David Clymer in the Tennessean. Was a well-regarded and well-known columnist that extended beyond your city, which seemed to be certainly a credit and a testimony to him. The coming on for an hour is pretty interesting. That's a long period of time for like sort of the lead.
Right. I mean, that's another thing that you don't do as much now as you used to. We used to have guys on for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's interesting. What has really changed actually is in today's universe, somebody like David Clymer might have his own show. Or co-host his own show for 3 hours in addition to working at the newspaper, and that you would hope the newspaper would get some basically gets free publicity out of their star columnist on the air. Perhaps that drives subscriptions. Obviously, David Clymer's case, if you're on the radio, you're getting extra salary, extra money, and you can expose your work and thoughts to a different medium. I find that here in Toronto too, the station that I work for, Sportsnet 590. We take far less calls than ever before. I know this station used to take calls. Multiple shows would take calls almost daily, and that has been reduced significantly. There is not one show at the place that I work up here that regularly takes calls. Sometimes they will take calls, but it almost becomes like, hey, we're going to open the phone lines because like this sort of extraordinary thing happened in, you know, we want to give you a chance to talk about that. I think, and this is just sort of me talking off the top of my head, I think because people have so many more outlets to express how they feel as a sports fan, particularly social media has changed the game on this, that the uniqueness of the call to a radio station sort of has gone away in the same way the uniqueness of a letter to an editor in a newspaper has gone away. You just, you know, you can instantly sort of have your own opinion the second you hit click on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And I think that's what's changed the equation, and I think that extends to sports talk callers.
Richard Deitch here with us from The Athletic, the media circus, and the XFL is going to be kicking off here in just a couple weeks. I know they had the big TV deals with ABC, ESPN, and Fox. They're going into it with some of the, you know, the NFL announcers that we're all used to. I guess the question isn't necessarily, is the XFL going to work? So time will tell. But it seems like a lot of resources are being put into this to bring it into people's homes.
Yeah. First of all, I think the XFL is going to overtake the NFL. And eventually the XFL will ask for a couple of the NFL teams to morph in. It's going to be the new dominant power.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, now for legitimacy, if the XFL makes 2 years, I would consider that a massive win. We'll see if that happens. I'm not sure that will be the case. But you make a great point. The XFL does have some things that the I almost forgot. I think it was the AAF, right? The XFL has some things that previous spring leagues do not have. One, they have great broadcasting contracts. Major partners with, you know, the ESPNs and the CBSs. I think, am I right about that? Fox, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So they have, you know, real broadcasters, real production crews, real commitment there. That's a big deal. They have an owner, obviously, or a founder in Vince McMahon, who has massively deep pockets than the previous league that came out last year. So I think even if there's some losses early, he can handle that. He also has sort of a, you know, his own promotional machine via the WWE. So, yeah, they're in a better position, I think, broadcast-wise than we've seen almost any of these spring leagues pop out. But one thing I would tell you guys and to your listeners, this is just always something I've sort of learned, even going back to the XFL days. Do not overestimate or do not jump to judgments after the first or second week's viewership numbers. They're going to be big because people sort of are jonesing for a singular football game and they're really curious about the league. What always matters with these kind of leagues is, like, what is that number week 10? How many week 7? How many people are watching them? Because the first week is always going to be off the charts. I think the XFL, if I remember, my memory serves me, might have drawn 13 or 14 million viewers for their first game, and people were basically already writing, you know, this is the next NFL. It doesn't work that way. What matters is, like, week 10, week 11, week 8. What's the momentum like, you know, 2 months in?
Richard, always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my mom's a shrink. If you guys need some counseling help, just let me know.
Oh, well, okay. That's good to know. We'll put that. We'll file that away. Thanks for doing this.
See you guys.
Richard Deitch, you just heard it first from The Athletic, says the XFL is going to take over the NFL. Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully disagree on that.
Yeah,
but
he was joking.
I know.
He was.
Oh, I mean, look, I'll do like I did with the AAF. I'll watch the first week. And then I'll probably lose interest.
But
like
his
everybody
point
else.
Is spot on, because this happened with the look. It's going to be big at first.
Sure.
It's what do I always say? What's my example? Don't tell me about the new restaurant doing well.
Yeah.
Ask about the new restaurant a year from now. After everybody's gone, cycled through, are they going back? First month,
right.
every restaurant, something new should always do well. If you're not doing well the first month, then you got huge problems. But a year from now. A year and a half from now, 2 years from now, how you doing? All right, we'll come back. Hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.